This is Storyphonic. Episode 1, The Truth in an Inky Black Space. The last droplets of coffee reluctantly fell into the cup as Kevin shook the carafe upside down. He never used to drink an entire pot by himself, but he also never used to have the time. He strolled out of the kitchen and into the small makeshift workspace he had set for himself in the living room. He hated it. There was something cold and terrible about the small desk pushed up against the couch, the unnerving mark beginning to deepen in the surface of the fabric from days of sitting. It was a small reminder of the blurred line between work and home that seemed to degrade every day into more and more imperceptible shades of gray. He set his cup in its daily resting place and opened his laptop. The morning light flooded in through the windows of his apartment, covering each and every surface in its glow. Email, coffee, email, meeting, lunch, finish meeting, email, sunset. A blur is the phrase that usually crossed his mind in the evenings. Aside from the warm shower and the daily hostage exchange of takeout food, Kevin's evenings were less eventful than the days. He took his dinner and moved over to the relaxation area of his sofa, carefully avoiding his workspace. Kevin glanced around his apartment and watched the walls on their ever-closing march inward. The space was fading, and he was trapped. Trapped, and falling asleep with a paper lantern of chow mein in his lap. Before his brain had time to truly awake, the next morning had passed, and he found himself pouring the last bit of coffee into his mug. Salesman of the Month, August 2018, it read. Every day seemed to have become the same, and he imagined his mind was bored with watching the rerun episodes of his life that came blaring through his eyes every day. Email, coffee, email, meeting, lunch, phone call, sunset. Another evening of food delivery. Kevin resented that the delivery man knew him by his name and remembered the code to his apartment building. He made a mental note to no longer order from that restaurant. Thursday evening came and went with no regard, and Kevin perked up to see that the weekend was nearly there. It was the only thing that disrupted the glacial movements of the days and the light-speed movements of the weeks. 87 days. Almost 13 weeks had gone by in what seemed to him a blur. Friday's sunrise shone through the windows and onto his face. Kevin had given up sleeping in his bed weeks ago, and now he simply nested up onto a third section of the couch near the empty wine bottles and discarded plastic food containers. Work, relaxation, and sleep, all in one convenient package. His apartment was a spaceship all his own, adrift, orbiting miles above the surface of the planet. His outside contact didn't bring him closer, just created more distance. A general sense of falling sideways and backwards seemed to stay with him always. Everywhere was within sight, but nothing was close enough to touch. Just a desperate, lonely, and silent place. Email, coffee, meeting, lunch, email, sunset, takeout, sleep. Kevin was awakened by the same sunlight that greeted him every morning. He sipped his coffee and contemplated how to spend his time this weekend. His phone rang. Kevin, mate, we're waiting on you. His boss chirped into the phone. The meeting started at 10. Clay? Kevin asked dazedly, still waking up. I thought we agreed. No more meetings on Saturdays, right? Kevin stood with his empty mug poised below his empty coffee pot, pouring nothing but air. He set it down, and a strange feeling came over him. A sickening feeling. A little mixed about, are we? Clay said with a chuckle. It's only Friday, Kev. We're meeting with Brooksman and Associates at 11. You need to be on this call. So get yourself in order or whatever and hop on. We need to talk numbers beforehand. Kevin hung up and looked at the calendar on his phone, perplexed and frightened. It wasn't like him to miss a meeting, or even oversleep for that matter. He regarded himself as punctual and reliable, so he quickly readied himself and got to work. That evening, Kevin sat with a glass of wine. He started to reflect, and he decided that he was actually gracious for his blunder. The meeting went fine, and he finally had some sort of memorable event to hang on to. Something tangible to return his ship to orbit. Saturday passed without much notice. A walk down the block for groceries and a binge of television was all the day entertained. Sunset, dinner, movie, wine, sleep. Kevin's phone rang. He awoke, and he realized the sun was not burning over the horizon as it normally was, but instead it was already high in the sky. It was his boss on the phone. All right, Kev, listen, I'm not going to be your hotel staff here, just giving you a ring every morning. You're late again. Get out of bed, get proper, and get on this call. He hung up the phone. There was a weight on Kevin's chest that was holding him still, a pressure clamping him onto the sofa. His heart beat fast. How had he slept through all of Sunday? The meeting was short and uneventful. No sale. Nothing but a look of disgust on Clay's face as Kevin apologized over and over. One more was the warning Clay gave. He reminded Kevin that losing his job meant losing his income, losing his health care, and losing his reputation. But Kevin was well aware. He didn't bother moving from his place on the couch until the doorbell rang. And if the delivery driver had called him by his first name, he hadn't noticed. He ate in silence, drank in silence, and fell asleep across from a cityscape of boxes and bottles populating his table. When he woke, it was dark. He was immediately overcome with fear that he had slept through an entire day of work, and he lunged for his phone. It was 1 a.m. A wave of calm came over him, and he took a deep breath on the couch. The show that had paused itself on the television was resumed, and Kevin laid back down to sleep as it played in the background. He fell asleep with thoughts of work, trying to convey to his subconscious how important it was to wake up on time. The knock on the door was what woke him next. He got off the sofa with the same sick feeling in his stomach and walked to the door, where the friendly face of a delivery driver greeted him. Kevin could see the man was smiling even with his mask on. He gave Kevin the food and thanked him for the big tip. Kevin nodded, totally mystified as to what was happening. He closed the door and ran to his computer. All of his work emails were answered. He had a text message from the client confirming an order, and his boss had sent the agenda for the next day's meeting. He even had a receipt from the Chinese restaurant. Kevin was dumbfounded. The last hours of his life were beyond recall, yet they must have happened. Meetings, emails, meals, everything passed by without so much as a wave. His spaceship was no longer in orbit. He felt like he was inside of some gravity well that had swallowed him whole and spit him out with no indication of his new direction. Sensors were desperately beeping and searching for meaning in the inky black space, but they found no way to return. A pathway had been traveled that seemed to be gone forever, and the way back was lost among the stars. Floating, as listlessly as his craft, Kevin found his way to the couch and collapsed. He opened his eyes to the sun rising up over the tops of the buildings outside of his window. Its pale pink outline danced along the edges and rooftops of the apartments, and it fluttered in over him. He had no idea what time it was, or even what day it was anymore. All he knew was that he was still trapped, imprisoned, helpless, inside his apartment. His phone displayed that it was 6 a.m., Monday. A week, Kevin thought. An entire week. He checked his laptop and the reports, counted the bottles lining his coffee table, and even tried to go through his hamper until he found that it was all washed and folded already. He must have done this automatically, as some sort of failed effort to ground himself, to reverse course and return his ship to somewhere familiar, somewhere intelligible where the world was truly itself and not the uncanny doppelganger before him. Kevin walked back to the living room, and he fell on the floor. And he wept, gripping his couch. He wept for a trip to visit his friends, for a night out at a restaurant or his favorite bar, the popcorn drenched in butter from his favorite cinema, and even wept for his cubicle, which he felt had suffocated him. He cried for the things that he had lost, which was really nothing at all. But to his mind, it was everything. Kevin lay there and wept until he could no more. His phone rang, but he did not answer. There was a knock at the door, but he never rose to get it. He laid until the sun had set and his eyes had closed to sleep. He woke up as the sun burned through the haze outside, and its light turned from a deep lavender into a blazing ochre. He stood before his coffee maker, poured the last bit of coffee into his cup, and made his way to the sofa. Listening to Storyphonic. Today's episode was written, produced, and recorded by me, Bryce Stabenow. This story, The Truth in an Inky Black Space, was also written by me, Bryce Stabenow. If you'd like to submit a story for consideration to Storyphonic,
contact us via email.
If you like this podcast, please subscribe wherever it is available, and share with your friends if you enjoy it as well. Thank you.